I was asked recently by a friend if I ever felt that God was distant. And this friend, mind you, is a pillar of the community, and by all accounts, you would say, has an amazingly strong faith journey. And that still holds true. But this friend who everybody would associate with experiencing the incredible closeness of Christ still had those moments where God felt distant. God didn't feel as present as God once was. And I think if we're being honest, if we could put aside the facade long enough, we would recognize that we relate with this question. Why is God distant at times? Why do pandemics happen? Why do things not go the way we want? In theology, you would locate this conversation in the area of theodicy, where it's a defense of God's justice. The questions that really animate us are, why do bad things happen to good people? Or the other way around, why do good things happen to bad people? And we realize that when we face those questions, that we really don't have easy answers. There are just times where it seems that God is distant. Maybe you felt like that this year. Maybe you've looked around and you've just seen chaos. Upon chaos, division upon division, and you go, where is God in all of this? And then you listen on a park street and you find out that this is Advent. And as if you have not been waiting long enough, you are invited into another season of waiting. Waiting for what? Is this all just a ritual? Is this just some game that we play every year? We know how the story ends, don't we? We know that Jesus is born, and we know that he will live a good life, and we know that his life is important for us to model after, and we know that he's crucified, and he's risen, and he ascends, and he gives us his spirit, and the church is established, and yada, yada, yada. If you've grown up in the church, you've heard the story again and again and again. Why, every year after Thanksgiving, when we literally stuff ourselves to the gills and watch all the football we can imagine, do we enter into a season of waiting again? And maybe you're a little perturbed this year. Maybe a little ticked off. My gosh, I've waited long enough, and now you're telling me to wait again? But as I thought back to my friend's question, the reality is, the reason that I can even say that God feels distant is because God has chosen to also be present. And what I mean by that is the fact that I can say that God feels distant means that in my head, in my heart, I can contrast it with moments where God has been present. And God has been present in ways that just seem so strange at times. The phone call that came just at the right moment, the text that came through, the coffee with a friend. I mean, really, think about the things that you are being forced to realize have tremendous value for you. Not your stuff, not your ongoing consumption, not your house or anything. It's those moments in the life of the church where you pass somebody, you have coffee and conversation in the back, and you realize, oh my goodness, all along that the sacred was right in plain sight. And that many times I feel God is distant because I'm just not aware of where God is present. And let's be honest, I'm not even aware how God is present in my life. And so we're invited into the season of Advent to reflect on what it means to wait. But not just wait, as 2020 has had us do, wait for 2021 to come along, but to wait with hope, to wait with expectation. That maybe, just maybe, Christ will break through in a fresh way by his Spirit. And so just like that group of people of old, you and I are waiting for the next inbreaking of the Holy Spirit to give a fresh word, a fresh encouragement, a fresh conviction. You know, I think about this time of year, and I think of how we are immediately invited into a tale of two kings in the Bible. You have King Herod, who sees himself as king of the Jews, and you have King Jesus, which comes to us in the form of a baby. And this baby, automatically, you know, as much as we like to associate Jesus with innocence and love, his innocence and love threatens the powers that be. He is a very real political threat So much so that King Herod, in his paranoia, concocts a plan to go out and through all of Palestine to gather up Hebrew boys under two and to slaughter them. It's the slaughtering of the innocent. Our Advent story begins in darkness. It begins in a pandemic of its kind for its day. And yet there's King Jesus, vulnerable, dependent, small. Have you felt that way this year? We felt vulnerable. I have a father who has stage 4 cancer, and we're not going to go home for the holidays because I don't want him to get this, because this could very likely be fatal for him. Dependent. How small does your living room feel? How's it feel to have your home office at your kitchen table and you scoot one chair down to have dinner with your family? And you realize, my goodness gracious, I was dependent on a lot of people. A lot of people give my life meaning. And while family is a blessed thing, and I am so grateful for my family, we weren't just made for our nuclear family. The church has been our family. I told a friend recently that there are people that my life doesn't even encounter anymore because my path does not cross their path in the life of church on Sunday morning. And small. Really? You can fit an entire personality into a small Zoom screen? And then when you try to get more than 5 people, my goodness gracious, the world just gets smaller and smaller. It's been a tough year, friends. We've been all over the map. And this season invites us to reflect, to center, to tether ourselves to the one who should give our life meaning and purpose. But he comes to us, vulnerable, dependent, and small. The King Herods of our world have sure made themselves known, and they clamor for your attention, and they seek to divide, they seek to destroy. Because in many ways, the King Herods of the world are the powers and the principalities of darkness that sow wickedness and evil into every conversation that we have. And you and I have fallen victim to it this year. And we've sinned, and we say, come Holy Spirit, come in your power. Bring your forgiveness to us. So my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that this Advent, we wouldn't wait the way that we've been waiting the rest of the year. That we would wait with the expectation of a child. That glimmer of light in our eyes, knowing that born to us is the Savior of the world. And that really, when you think about it, Advent is where we're always located. It is the inauguration of this new kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, but it's the not yet, because the great end of days has not yet come. In theology, we call this the eschaton, the time between, the between times. So we are a people who have the hope of the incarnation, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and the gift of his Spirit. But we also look ahead, knowing that we are a people who wait for the re-advent of Jesus again, when the great end of days comes and all of our deepest longings that have been so unmet by so many different people and places and things finally find their deep satisfaction and fulfillment. Think about those things. Allow your heart and your mind to lift above the din of our society in this moment. And just for a brief moment, take a deep breath and just go, Lord, give me hope. Give me joy. Lord, give me a fresh advent of your Holy Spirit this season. I pray that for you, dear friends. I pray that for myself. My heart is so heavy. My heart has deep longings. And as Augustine reminds us, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Christ. May your heart, as we enter in this Advent season, find some rest that it's been longing for all of 2020 by gazing upon the Christ child. Amen.